1 Kings chapter 19 tonight. We're going to look at another portrait. We're going to look at Elijah again. We were in 1 Kings chapter 18 last Sunday evening. Looking at Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. So now we're in 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll read starting in verse 1. It says that Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. We're going to look at Elijah tonight as a portrait of refreshing. A portrait of refreshing. But let's start with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We pray that as we study it tonight, we would approach it as the Word of God. And Lord, that we would take it seriously tonight. We pray that you would help us to receive your Word, and that your Spirit would work in our hearts and meet the needs of each person here tonight. And we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I think refreshments has to be one of the greatest words to hear. You know, if you hear that there's refreshments, you're like, okay, there's hope. You know, if you're sitting there through a long-winded, boring meeting, you can kind of do it if there's the promise of refreshments. You know, if you walk into that conference room and you see food on the table, you're like, I can sit through this. You know, I can just kind of zone out and plan on what I'm going to eat next and look at the refreshments and do all of that. There's a reason why John Bergen brings donuts to a work day, right? It's for the refreshments. It's because he knows that people will show up to a work day if there's the refreshments, right? We're like, I can endure a church work day. I can come and do whatever if I know there are donuts, right? If there's refreshments there. Every once in a while, we just need a little pick-me-up, you know? We just need something that we can eat, and then it just, you know, gives you that little refreshing that you need. I've learned in running, if you're going to run longer distances, you need fueling, right? You need something along the way, and they make these gel packets that you can take partway through your run, and it just gives you the quick carbohydrates that you need to burn. And if you want to keep going, there has to be that refreshing, and it makes a difference. And in the scheme of life, there are times where we're in desperate need of refreshments, right? Where we need just some sort of refreshing in our life. And Elijah found himself there, right? Needing some refreshing. He was just going through a really difficult time in his life. He had just come through this great victory on Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal and that victory that was there. Then all of a sudden he has in chapter 19, Ahab tattles on him to Jezebel, and Jezebel threatens to kill him. And she'd already slain a bunch of prophets with the sword. And so now all of a sudden Elijah is fearing for his life. And so he runs and he leaves his servant in Beersheba. So now he's all alone, right? By the time we get to him in verse 4, he is all by himself. There's nobody else with him, no one to encourage him. He goes by himself a day's journey into the wilderness. And you can see Elijah sort of spiraling, you know, and like the discouragement is just getting greater and greater for Elijah. And as he is all alone in this wilderness, as he is under this juniper tree, the Lord takes care of him. The Lord comes to Elijah and he helps him. He gives him this refreshing that Elijah needed in order to carry on. And that's what I want to see tonight about Elijah as a portrait of refreshing. A portrait of a man who went through a difficult time, who went through a struggle in his life, and how God dealt with him, and what God did for Elijah to kind of take care of him, set him back on his feet, getting him going again for the Lord. And there's really two parts to it. There is the part that we read from verse 5 down through verse 8, and then there is the part 9 down through like verse 18, right? It kind of goes in two parts. And the first part is that the Lord gives to Elijah some physical refreshment. He takes care of him physically. He takes care of his like bodily needs that he has. And so if you look in verse 5, here Elijah comes and he goes out into this wilderness. And then it says he lays down under this juniper tree. In verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came on again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. There's a physical and a spiritual aspect to all of us. And they're joined together, right? They influence each other. How we're feeling physically has an effect on how we do spiritually, right? We use the term hangry, right? Which is the combination of hungry and angry. And we've been there, right? Where you're just hungry and it puts you in a bad mood. And you know, you're just a little quick tempered. And it's the physical condition making it a little more difficult for us to have the fruit of the Spirit, for us to have that long suffering and that peace and that joy. And we found it to be true that the way we are physically impacts us spiritually, that we can't disconnect the two. If we're tired, right? If we're just exhausted, if we didn't sleep well the night before, if we're just tired, that makes the spiritual life more difficult for us. And we're more quick to lose our temper and be grumpy and grouchy, because the physical has an impact on how we're feeling spiritually. Now, Elijah wasn't going through a major injury or any disease that he had. He was just exhausted and apparently hungry as well. He was tired. I mean, I think there was a lot of the emotions of what Elijah had gone through. And really, emotional times, they make you tired, right? When you go through like heavy emotions, whatever it is, you come out the other end just being exhausted. And Elijah had just gone through a big mountaintop experience, and then down in the valley with the threats of Jezebel. He had just walked by himself a day's journey into the wilderness, and now he comes to this juniper tree, and he's like, I'm done. And he just lays down under that tree. All the stress of his life had built to this point. So he now finds himself under this tree, and he lays down and sleeps in verse 5. An angel comes to him and says unto him, arise and eat. But then he's allowed to just lay back down. The angel doesn't say, come on, buddy, it's time to move, right? You got stuff to do for the Lord. No time for resting, no time for laying down. The angel wakes him up, gives him some food, and then he's allowed to lay down again in verse 6 until the angel of the Lord gets him up again. It's okay to rest. It's okay to sleep. We had there was a saying that went around in college. I think it was a preacher came and mentioned in one of the messages, and it was this: sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Which, as college students, we're like, amen. We will take any excuse we can. But being exhausted doesn't mean that we're better Christians, right? Just because we're burning the candle at both ends doesn't necessarily make us better Christians. Sometimes we just need to get the rest that we need. And Elijah is there when really what he needed to help him spiritually, before the Lord dealt with the spiritual side, the Lord says, let's get you in a better place. Let's get you some rest. You lay down and just take a break. And I know that depending on the season of life that you're in, sometimes you're like, I don't have time to rest. Because if I rest, it means other things don't get done, right? And then like the list just piles up more and more because I put something off in order to rest, in order to, you know, go to bed early or take a nap or whatever it is. Doing that then means that I don't have time for the rest of things, and then something doesn't get done. I know there's a lot of seasons of life where that's just the way it is. But have we prayed about it? And that's where I would, like, where we need to get to is, like, just ask the Lord. Lord, would you either make the rest that I have enough, the rest that I can get enough, or will you give me opportunities? Just take things off my plate so that I am able to get the rest that I need so that I can be who I'm supposed to be for you. And the Lord cared enough about Elijah to get him the rest that he needed, to just give him that physical refreshing. But it wasn't just like rest that Elijah needed. It is also like the nutrition that that the angel gives to him. And so in verse 5, as he's laying there, the angel wakes him up and says unto him, arise and eat. And verse 6, he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his head. He did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel does that again and says, arise and eat. And the end of verse 7, he says, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. God also cared about Elijah's nutrition and the things that Elijah ate. The angel made food for him, provided water, and then did it again. And it was because he was going to have to travel on the strength of that 40 days and 40 nights. And I don't know what that angel fed him, but he went 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that. And the Lord says, listen, without proper nutrition, you're not going to be able to do what I want you to do and go where I want you to go. And it's well documented in the scientific community that food affects your mood, right? That the type of food you eat and the nutrition that you get has an impact upon you in other ways. And our physical life is connected to our spiritual life. And so eating healthy has an impact upon us. And I don't know all the nutrition behind it. You know, they talk about your microbiome and anti-inflammatory food and all these scientific terms. That's why I'm just using the term nutrition, because I don't really know that much about healthy eating and all the science behind it. But we need to be eating healthy, and we need to be taking care of the body that God has given to us. I was thinking about food in heaven, right? Because it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. The only food I could find in heaven is fruit. And I went, praise the Lord, it wasn't a vegetable. You know, at least it talks about, you know, the fruit on a tree, and I think in Revelation chapter 22. So that at least is a step above vegetables, right? But like, there needs to be like a sort of healthy eating, and we need to be mindful about our nutrition. And I'm guilty of this, right? Because I'm on the record as my favorite food being donuts, and I already talked about donuts once in this message. And skinny doesn't mean healthy, right? It might just mean a fast metabolism, but often being busy in life leads to being tired, and it can lead to like unhealthy eating and all of these sort of things that don't help our spiritual condition and that are infecting us in ways and making it harder for us to be who we are supposed to be spiritually. And we look at what the Lord does for Elijah, and the very first thing that God addresses is his physical condition and says, all right, Elijah, you need to rest and you need to eat something. We need to take care of you, and then we'll deal with the other things. And this is how the Lord takes care of Elijah. He addresses the physical condition and his physical health. And maybe we need just to start with some physical refreshing in our life. And maybe we go home tonight and eat some vegetables and go to bed an hour early or whatever it is. But it is something that we need to be mindful of, as understanding that we are both physical and spiritual. And sometimes our entire emphasis is on our spiritual condition, and that it really is the main focus of the Bible. But we also have to understand that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that we have a responsibility to take care of ourselves. And God addresses that with Elijah. So there is the physical refreshment that God does and God works with Elijah on. But then also, if we look down in verse 9, the second aspect is spiritual refreshment. So in verse 9, we're just going to read verse 9 down through verse 18. It says, and he came thither unto a cave. After he goes 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, he comes thither to a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Spiritual refreshment. Now, we're not going to delve into like the specifics of this conversation that Elijah has with the Lord. But if we look just at it broadly, there are two aspects to it, and that is, there is talking that Elijah does, and then there's listening that Elijah does, right? Talking and listening. Elijah talks to the Lord, and Elijah really pours out his complaint to the Lord, and then he has to listen as the Lord talks to him. And it's through this that there is spiritual refreshment that God brings to Elijah. Now, Elijah starts by being very open and honest with the Lord. When the Lord says, what doest thou here, Elijah? He's honest, and he tells him exactly how he is feeling and the struggles that he is going through. But he pours all of this out before the Lord. This is what we find David doing so many times in the Psalms. And I want to show you just a few. So if you go to Psalm 3, there are a lot of Psalms that start this way, where David just expresses to the Lord how he's feeling, what he's going through, the struggles that he has. So in Psalm 3 and verse 1, he says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Look over in Psalm 6, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Look in Psalm 10. We start in verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. And you know what David does then in Psalm 10? It goes down through, and for like, I think it's the next 11 verses, it talks about the wickedness of people. He just talks about how horrible everybody is. And then in Psalm 13, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. This is what David does. He just tells the Lord exactly what's going on. Same thing Elijah did. Now, I don't mind when people see counselors. You know, when people want to go and talk to a counselor, as long as the counselor gives biblical advice, as long as they are giving them advice from the Word of God. But a biblical counselor is not a replacement for us talking to the Lord. Because we go and talk to some person doesn't mean that we don't have to talk to God. We need to talk to God. We need to tell him everything that we're thinking and what we're feeling. We need to be talking to God. You may have a friend that you go to and you share things with, and that's fine if they're a godly friend that's going to encourage you. But that is no replacement for talking to God. We're supposed to pray and bring all our all our requests and all our supplications to the Lord. Bring all of that before God. Have we poured out our complaints to the Lord with everything that we're going through? Have we talked to God about these things? Sometimes we get in this spot where, because of what we're going through, we just kind of shut down and we don't talk to God about things. Where the precedent in Scripture is, you take that before the Lord. You're not going to tell him anything he doesn't already know that you feel. You're not going to express anything before the Lord that he doesn't already know. And the Lord asks Elijah, he says, "What doest thou here?" And we see God do this, don't we? Where he'll ask questions of people, right? He asks a question of Adam and Eve right after they sin, right? Why does God ask these questions when God is all-knowing, when God knows all of this? It's to get us to talk. It's to get us to communicate. It's this starting of the conversation where he approaches us and says, "All right, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. Tell me how you're feeling. Not that I already don't know, but this is where we're going to start. We're going to start in this conversation. God already knows, but he wants you to tell him. He wants you to talk to him." And it's spiritually refreshing when we talk to God. God refreshes us by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And when we talk to God, right, and we express the complaints and the struggles that we're going through, all of our emotions, we can start the conversation that way, but we need to end the conversation the right way. And if you're still in Psalm 13, here's how we need to make sure that we end these conversations if we start with the complaints of our heart. So in Psalm 13, David talks for 4 verses about what he's going through, but then he ends this way in verse 5. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." It's this expression of David's faith that even with all that he was going through, he still says, "Lord, I trust in you." And he's talking about what he is trusting God to do, that he is going to sing unto the Lord and that God will deal bountifully with him. When we express our griefs and our complaints to the Lord, don't end it with that. End it with this expression of faith. Tell him that you trust him, that you love him. Tell him that you're trying your best to trust him, or even as the disciples said, "Lord, increase our faith." And we can have that. We can have this time where we express our struggles to the Lord, but that should not be where our prayer ends. It should end with faith and dependence in God. And Elijah does this, right? Elijah has this moment where he talks to God about this. There is this communication that he starts with God, but then he listens. Then Elijah has a time where not only does he talk to God, but he just listens. And God speaks to Elijah in this still small voice, right? There are all these miracles that take place and how God shows his strength in different ways, but then it's this still small voice that Elijah hears. And that's what we need to be listening for, is the still small voice of God through the Word of God. Some people have a voice that you can't not hear. Right? It just kind of pierces through. Maybe it's the volume. Maybe it's just the type of voice that sticks out. But the way God spoke to Elijah was a way that Elijah almost had to like stand still and just listen for it. And we see it's called a still small voice. And in verse 13, Elijah has to go out to the entrance of the cave and stand there to listen. That was the sort of voice that God chose to use with Elijah, where Elijah had to go to a spot, stand still. This was not a voice that you could listen to while you're multitasking, while he's doing dishes in the back of the cave or whatever, tending the fire, right? This was, he had to just stand there and listen. And if we want to be refreshed, there's going to have to be these times where we set everything else to the side and we just quiet our hearts and listen to what God is trying to say to us. And the Lord does, we're not going to look at the whole conversation, but the Lord tells him 2 things. One, he tells Elijah what Elijah was supposed to do. He tells Elijah what he is supposed to be doing. He tells him to go to talk to these different people. But then the Lord tells Elijah what he needs to know, what is going on with the rest of Israel, and how there's a bunch of other people that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And the Lord says, "All right, Elijah, here's what I want you to do, and here's what you need to know." Both of those things are really important for us to hear from the Word of God. We don't need to listen to other people tell us what to do or what we need to know. We need to listen to the Lord. We need to listen to what God is trying to communicate to us. Psalm 119 and verse 49 and 50. Because this is where, like, refreshment comes when we listen to God. So Psalm 119, 49 and 50. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Psalm 119, 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Psalm 119, 113 and 114. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Listening to what God is trying to say to us. There's always some voice that we're listening to. It's just the way we are. And when we go through things, it can be that what we're listening to is our voice. The inner dialogue of our heart, what we're telling ourselves that we need to do and what we're telling ourselves that we need to know. And we have to not listen to that voice, but listen to God. Go to the Word of God. Listen to what He is trying to tell us. Listening to what He wants us to do, the steps that we need to take according to the Word of God. Listening to what He is trying to tell us that we need to know. And that's when we'll find the refreshment that God is trying to give to us. I think Elijah was listening to maybe his voice, but also he was listening to Ahab and to Jezebel, what they had said and what they were going to do. And it caused him to run away. And then I'm sure he's talking to himself that whole way through that journey in the wilderness. And he gets to the conclusions that he comes to in verse 4 and that he then expresses in verse 10 to the Lord. He had just been listening to the wrong voices. And the Lord says, all right, just be quiet. Be quiet and listen to what I want to tell you. We need to do that. Just get ourselves alone with the Word of God and listen to what God is trying to tell to us. We have to make the choice to amplify the voice of God above all the other voices, above everything else that is trying to talk to us. We amplify it by meditation, by really thinking about the Word of God, reading a passage over and over and over again and thinking about it. We amplify it by memorization, by taking the Word of God and putting it in our hearts. We amplify it by prioritizing it in our life, making much of the Word of God. That's how we take the still small voice of God and we make it much louder to us. Now, this is what we need to do if we want to be spiritually refreshed. We talk to God. We communicate with the Lord. We start a conversation, but then we take time where we listen to what He is trying to tell us. And there's spiritual refreshment in that. In communicating with God and just spending time with our Heavenly Father, talking to Him and then listening to what He is trying to tell us. Elijah's in a difficult time in his life. He's in a time of discouragement. It's a hard time for him. And the Lord says, I'm going to take care of you. And first He addresses the physical refreshment that He knew Elijah needed. And then He said, all right, Elijah, there's also some spiritual refreshment. But you know what we might miss in this whole passage? And that is the time that this took. Because maybe we look at this and go, all right, one day in the wilderness, and then God talks to him, and boom, he's back on his feet in like 48 hours tops. But there was the day that he took into the wilderness, and then however long he slept for, and then he goes for 40 days and 40 nights on the Horeb, the Mount of God, and then he's there. This was like a month and a half process for Elijah, where the Lord is working with him this whole time. And sometimes it takes time of us just focusing and asking the Lord to really do a work of refreshing in us. And so tonight, if you're discouraged, take this from the Lord tonight, right? Physical refreshment. Maybe take a nap, go to bed early, get some rest. Make sure you're getting the nutrition that you need, that you're taking care of yourself. Make sure you're focusing on spiritual refreshment, talking to the Lord and listening to Him. If you aren't discouraged tonight, just stay on top of these things, right? Don't let them slide because everything is going well. But there's this portrait of refreshment. But the thought that I want to leave us with tonight is this. Overall, through this whole story, what we see is God's grace and compassion on someone that was struggling. And this is who God is, right? He doesn't abandon us when we struggle. He doesn't abandon us when we get emotional. He doesn't abandon us when we leave it all behind and just kind of walk away for a minute. Because we're like, I can't handle this anymore. I've just got to go away. And God doesn't leave us. God still pours out his grace and his compassion, and God cares for us, and God is there to take care of us. The Bible says that he'll supply all of our needs through Christ Jesus. And this is what God does for us. God cares about every single part of your life, physical or spiritual. God cares and God takes care of us. And we just need to walk with him and trust in him. Do the things that God tells us to do. Live for the Lord. And you know what? God'll pick us up. He'll dust us off, set us back on our feet and say, all right, let's keep going. There's work to do. There's things you need to do. Physical refreshment, spiritual refreshment. God cares. God loves us. All right, let's close with prayer. Lord, I thank you that you do care for us. And Lord, there are times where we're just down in the valley and we're struggling. But Lord, we know that you meet our needs and you supply all that we need. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to, Lord, get back on our feet and just continue to go on for you. Keep us faithful. Keep us serving you. Keep us living for you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.